Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, here's coffee. Thank you. this is the October 2009 SVCB membership meeting, and we start with introductions. I'm Mike Easley, president. Let's see. We have a microphone. Two wireless microphones here.
I'll show you. You go around.
Hi, I'm Judy Polichek from Mountain View, treasurer.
What? Rob Turner.
He's the membership chair.
I'm John Glass from Saratoga.
I'm Susan Schulter from Saratoga, and I'm vice president.
I'm Bev Clifford from San Jose, Goodies chairperson, and I would like to thank Barbara for the wonderful goodies today. They were nummy. Thank you.
It's Michelle McGrew, and I'm a fundraising chair from Mountain View.
I didn't introduce the newest member, well, almost newest member, Shamis, my black lab.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Steve Nakagawa, San Jose board member.
Leanne Nakagawa, San Jose.
Eli Kirk, Mountain View.
Roger Peterson, program chair and newsletter editor, Mountain View, and the newsletter stuff is due next Friday.
Sam Chen, Saratoga, deaf and blind.
Bill Tipton, San Jose.
If you need a receiver, Sam, ask for it. No.
Amy Shaw, Palo Alto.
Ruben Armenta and Roxy, my dog, from Santa Clara. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Kathy Hogue, halfway broken foot from San Jose.
Ken Hogue, San Jose, construction worker.
Elevator driver.
Yeah.
Good morning, Vernon Phillips.
Jack Syverson, recruiter, San Jose.
Wayne Estias, it's Brian Higgins from Los Altos.
Julie Lovins, Mountain View.
Greg Feller, Mountain View.
Can Crusher Charlie. I've heard rumors there are cans. I haven't seen a can, but I'm going to be happy boy after the meeting. Thank you.
Barbara Dickinson, Mountain View.
David Hoffman, Cupertino.
Hello, this is Ken Carey from North San Jose.
Anna Bellino, San Jose.
Diana Kester, San Jose.
Eileen Skidmore, Santa Clara, and Coffee Committee.
Naomi Grove, South San Jose. Recording secretary. Oh, I'm not recording secretary. Corresponding secretary and coffee committee.
Done. Cars, middle of Palo Alto. And car hospitality
chair. Alan Jones, Sunnyvale greeter.
Good morning, everybody. This is John Kanzi here at Monta Vista Terrace, and I'd like to welcome everybody to our meeting for October and a new member, David Hoffman.
Caroline Owens from Mountain View. Glad we're all here today for the October chapter.
I'm Hadley Shepherd. I'm from Redwood City, and I'm volunteering today.
Okay, Mike, that's all of...
Did you get Susan?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did we miss you, Susan? I'm sorry.
Susan, hurry.
Is that it?
That is it, Mike.
Okay, thank you very much for everybody for coming. It sounds like an excellent crowd, and I really appreciate it. Roger Peterson is going to coordinate our program now.
Okay, now this is going to be, we're going to be running the microphone around quite a bit here because we're going to be having people talking from wherever they are. So microphone runners, keep those shoes warm or whatever. I got a message from the members before in the last couple of months that as a way of celebrating October as Disability Employment Awareness Month, we should ask our members who are employed to talk about their employment, how they got it, whatever they want to say about it, how they got the job, how they're going to keep it, or if they are, and so forth. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought, gee, who's in our group that's employed? Oh. And I was talking with Art Takahara, who's not here today because he's visiting his child, one of his children, in Iowa, was saying to me, well, how many blind people are employed, and how many of them are employed in regular jobs that don't have anything to do with blindness? And so we got to talking about that, and you know, it's kind of a low number, I think. But I don't necessarily know everybody, and I want to be sure that anyone who wants to talk can. There are a couple of people that I specifically got, you know, encouraged to come and talk. One is Greg Fowler, and one is Bill Tipton, and you know, again, I'm sure I'm going to forget somebody. So this is informal. So let's keep it that way. Let's see. Where do we want to start? Bill, are you ready to talk?
Sure.
Bill Tipton is one guy who does have a mainstream job, and in addition to his mainstream job, he works with other folks with disabilities at his employ. So let me let you hear from a member who's been a member for a long time and just maybe hasn't been attending all the meetings recently, but I urged him to come, and he did, and I'm very happy about that. Bill Tipton. Let me hand you this microphone, Bill.
Thank you, everybody. As Roger said, my name is Bill Tipton, and I work for Hewlett-Packard. I might be kind of unusual. Actually, I got this job when I had vision. So the main goal after losing my vision kind of instantly one day in May of 99 was keeping my job. And after reskilling myself, learning assistive technology, staying up many nights, weekends, training myself, I managed to keep that job. And ever since then, I've it's been 12 years roughly now. I've had five different positions within Hewlett-Packard. So that kind of tells you, at least from my point of view and from my experience, what I've learned is that I need to be completely flexible. And when you see things kind of going astray, or maybe your job might be going away, you need to immediately look for other work. Because, you know, I've had five jobs along the way here, and two of those times I was on the verge of being let go and even told so, you know, if I don't find another job, we're going to have to let you go. And along the way, I started out as a Unix networking engineer, fixing Unix networking issues, which I started that job when I had vision and tried to continue it afterwards. And the tools just became inaccessible, so that started me on my career of finding new work. And then from there, with no vision, I landed a job in HP Labs where I worked in the research library. And then when that job went away, I immediately found another job within the tools and infrastructure group, helping out in the accessibility arena, helping out at that point directly the employees with visual impairments or the blind employees. And then from there, I moved on to project management, where I've been doing that for the past couple of years. And just recently, over the past year, had been more directly focusing HP's internal accessibility program, because my goal is marrying that up with our external HP.com accessibility group. You know, we have a HP accessibility group who focuses on our customers. And I've talked to a variety of other leading high-tech companies and who are doing well in this area. And their thought, and mine as well, is why duplicate efforts, you know? Make everything accessible internal that it is for our external customers. So that's been my main goal over, well, ever since I went blind. And that's one of the reasons why I haven't been at these meetings recently. I've been kind of working 7 days a week for, well, since November of last year, pretty much. But I'm making headway there. We started an HP Accessibility Task Force where we have leaders within our corporation from a variety of businesses, and I'm the key member there. I'm not the leader just because of my, we got to have a person with a leader title, you know, leading the meeting, so people kind of follow what we give them to do. But I'm the key contributor there, and I hope to raise the bar and eventually marry the two groups, you know, internal accessibility and external. And eventually, someday, I hope to be a leader within that new business that I'm actually trying to create currently. So that's kind of an overview of what I do at Hewlett-Packard. Around the projects that I do, I actually, I technically work for an organization within Hewlett-Packard called, it recently changed its name, it used to be Technology Services Group, and now it's Enterprise Services. And that might not mean anything to everybody here, but what my projects were just cutting costs, helping out the customers, streamline processes, procedures, those kind of, you know, ordinary projects that all corporations need to do. So that was my mainstream job that I did. And I did all this accessibility work, supposedly 25% of my time. But it took, you know, far many more hours doing this all on my own to get to the point where I've got the company at currently. And that's kind of my overview. Roger, did that cover everything you needed?
So, yeah, for now.
Thank you, everybody.
All right, Bill. So one of the things I think that Bill's experience shows us is that you can't just sit around and have a job in this economy and in this day and age. Even within the employer, even within the company where you work, you have to be vigilant and find yourself other opportunities in case the one you're working in doesn't continue to exist, because that's what happens with sighted people too. They get told. I have a friend who just got laid off, and she was told, "You've got till the end of the month to see if you can find another job in the company. Otherwise, you're gone." And so that's the way things are these days. And I'm afraid, as blind people, some of us are not very well. Equipped to handle that. I know I sure as heck wouldn't be. So now a little bird told me that I should ask Charlie Stein to talk.
Uh-oh.
I've heard that he has a job. All right. So let's have Charlie talk. Tell us about your job, Charlie.
Oh. Hi, guys. Okay, I've had this job. It's only 2 days a week, but and it's helped me a lot. $8 an hour. That the cash is not what's helping me. It's the exercise, a new exercise that I haven't done. Well, I do it every day. We all do. Well, not all, but most of us do. Walking in a parking lot. Gathering shopping carts at the milk pail market in Palo Alto. And when I first started, my legs were sore. But this went away. I even gained 10 pounds. And it was not fat. I lost 2 inches in my waist because the leg muscles are heavier than the fat. And this, and I've mentioned, I've noticed that I thought my vision is getting better. I've mentioned this to this group before, but it's going to take more time for that development to come afloat or something like that to be. But I see, anyways, so I'm so very happy. And also, it helps because I just your attitude, a good attitude, helps you tremendously. And I also think, well, with it's helping me because I think positive about my body healing itself. And anyways. So I'm very happy. I don't know what else to say other than thank you.
Okay, very good, Charlie.
Thank you.
Well, let's see. One of our long-term members, in fact, past president of this organization, is Greg Fowler. And Greg has a history of being employed, which is really, you know, it's one of us that one can admire, I think. And let me let him say a few words. So let me have Greg Fowler.
Excuse me. Thank you, Roger, for inviting me to come. And I think what I wanted to do is talk about a couple of things about employment, as well as another approach that I've taken more recently, which is I thought I would share with people here today. I think the first point is to really emphasize something that, you know, that Bill said earlier, and that's being very, very aware of your work environment, very knowledgeable about the technology you're using and what you really need to do to get your job done. My background is in computer software development and computer networking and operating systems. And what I have found through the years that has been really important in me maintaining jobs and being able to advance is that I really needed to understand what my coworkers were expected, what I was expected to do as far as the results and the outcomes. And you know, I quite often haven't used the same exact process that my coworkers have done, but I have found it's very important for me to look at the technology that I have as far as assistive technology, look at all the tools that I can find that will help me get my job done, and build a combination of those things that allow me to come out with competing results to my coworkers. Because basically another thing that happens, as people have alluded to in the environment today, is that many companies are doing evaluations and sort of ranking people on a frequent basis, some of them quarterly. And if your work isn't matching up to what others are doing, you're the one who's not there for the next quarterly ranking. So I think that's a really key element, is to understand your work environment and have the knowledge. I don't think you can expect it to come from the company. The other element of that is working with your manager and educating this person on the technology, making sure they understand what you're doing and how you're doing it, and making sure they're aware. And what I have found that has done is I have really never had anyone turn me down when I've asked them to purchase a piece of technology. So I think having managers educated and aware of what you're doing is a real big plus. And the other thing I would add to that is that the technology that I have generally been able to attain has all been done by my department. So it's really been based on me working with my manager and department head and things to purchase the technology. The other thing I wanted to share is not employment directly, but it's actually some of the thing I've been doing as a volunteer. And for the past few years, I've actually been volunteering with the local education foundation in Mountain View. And what I have found that most of that has been in the area of helping them with computer-related issues, whether it be doing some small projects on their website, or you know, helping with online donations, or you know, processing data, getting mailings ready, these type of things. And the reason I mention this is that all of this is using tools in a Windows environment, which I had in my professional work have had almost no interaction with. So as Bill mentioned, you know, he's really had to work very hard to learn new technologies and things. And to me, this seemed like a great way of one, making a contribution to a nonprofit organization, but also for my own personal benefit, it actually allowed me to get a lot of experience in an environment where I didn't have the knowledge. And you know, if I want to go off and say, you know, work on a project in that area, I can now say that, you know, here's what I've done, here's what I've achieved, and here's how I've done it. So I think it's a very, you know, using your volunteer experience to gain knowledge in an area and with a set of tools is a very valuable thing, and I think it will be beneficial to me in the future. So that's all I guess I have to say at the moment, and thanks again, Roger, for inviting me to come.
Thank you, Greg. Greg's also volunteering these days as the keeper of the California Council of the Blind email list. And, of course, it went away when the server crashed. I assume that has nothing to do with Greg being the list moderator. No, actually, the whole CCB and ACB server went away for a while, and it's in the process of coming back now. But anyway, Greg has been helping us with that, too. When we introduced ourselves, I noticed Naomi said that she was a coffee person and a corresponding secretary, but she also has a job. And Naomi, would you like to stop pouring coffee for a moment and tell us what your job is?
Hello, everybody. I have a hard time talking about what I do for some reason, but I started out going to the Silicon Valley Independent Living Center in 99, thinking I was taking a good friend of mine who has cerebral palsy to help her get out of her house, and little did I know that I ended up being there since then, and we both got hired on. I asked if they needed any volunteers, and they said, sure, we do next month coming up, so we both started going down on the bus. And to Gilroy. And then I started out on the phones, and then little by little started doing filing, which was very hard for me to do, and they had to, you know, modify everything in the files. So I had to climb inside the drawer so I could see the files, and which was kind of hard, but we got it going. And then from volunteering, a paid volunteer position, I got into, that was a couple of days, and then I got into a few years later, started on staff. So I've been on staff 4 days a week now since about 2002. And I do a lot of stuff with the agency. It's a very good agency. We help a lot of people with all kinds of disabilities. I'm in the housing and personal assistance department. So I do a lot of work talking directly with the consumers who call in. And a lot of blind people call in. I refer them to here, to the Blind Center, to BISTA, everywhere I could think of. And we give a lot of referrals and resources. That's what we mainly do. And anyways, I've still been there ever since, and my friend moved on to other things. So that's how I started. And I enjoy my job very much. I enjoy helping people, and I get a lot of satisfaction out of it. And talk to a lot of people on the phone every day. So I do a lot of filing still. Oh, and they modified things for me. They got me Zoom Tech. They got the large keyboard. They got me a CCTV. So everything's working easier now than it was. So I'm doing real good there. Thank you.
And since I'm on the board of the Silicon Valley Independent Living Center, I'm one of Naomi's bosses. So, ha ha. Okay.
Question.
You want to ask a question?
Yes.
I don't know whether we can allow that or not. Okay. Sam, ask a question.
This is Sam Chen. Before asking the two questions, let me give a report on an employment-related topic. My son, Michael Chen, he was volunteering here for some time when he was a high school kid, and now he has a job at a Pixar. A blind or sighted, I think the same way, like Bill and Greg said, I think they all have to work very hard to figure out where their next job is. And Michael told me he came here by volunteering here. He learned to see something without sight. That means imagination, and he feels that's a great help to him in doing the 3D animation. He's doing the 3D animation with Pixar now. Now, moving to my two questions. One is more toward Bill. I wonder that a lot of the assistive technology is made for multiple purposes, for common use. And when you, on your job, when you don't find a tool that would make you, that would help you, how do you do? That the mainstream assistive technology doesn't work for you, how do you do? And how do you come up with solution to that? And next is, I don't want to get it too personal, but just, you know, curious that does your pay fluctuate, you know, after losing sight because your job assignment could be somewhat different? I don't want to infringe the privacy part of that, but just curious if you don't mind in respond to that kind of question. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hello, Sam, and everybody else here. I'll try to answer that first question first here about using assistive technologies multiple ways. Yes, I do that in a number of methods. I'll use one, for example, that I learned early on. I have a scanning program called OpenBook. And, for example, you know, I can read PowerPoint presentations with my JAWS screen reader, but sometimes it's just faster to actually print it to the OpenBook application, which is actually printing it to a printing driver. And what that does, it runs the OpenBook program and does OCR on the PDF file, or, like I just said, PowerPoint. And then I can read that more quickly and easily. So that's kind of talking about how I use my assistive technology in multiple methods. And if I don't know how to do something or something doesn't work, the first choice is get on a mailing list that talks about that subject and ask the question. So I do that, and at the same time I'm working with their internal IT groups that I built through my accessibility work where I work, so that's kind of key. And it took years to find these people because, you know, you can't find their names on any list. You can't call IT support and get their names. So you've got to find these people early on and keep relationships with them because they change just like other people's jobs change. Yep, and cultivate their trust and because, you know, you don't want to be sharing these people's names with the rest of the whole company. Like, for example, in my company, 300,000 people. Calling these one key people, you know, they want to be kept hidden. So you got to keep their names, you know, to yourself. But work with them, too, to resolve the accessibility issue directly. But a lot of times you can't. So then the next best thing is develop a workaround solution that will work for you just so you can actually do your job. Okay. Thank you.
Roger.
Hello. Okay.
Roger, back here, please.
Yeah, Greg wants to add to that.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Sorry, thanks.
So I just wanted to follow up a little bit on Bill's comments, which I think are very good, with some ideas that approaches that I had taken in my work. One was when we were looking at rolling out new internal applications that I got to know some of the people in the support group, as Bill has mentioned, and I actually would volunteer to be on the group of engineers who were testing these new systems that were going to be installed and used for the entire engineering group. So, you know, this gave me sort of a heads up on whether there were going to be any issues with working with the new software that they were installing and gave me a little bit of a extra lead time, I guess, in figuring out between the time before it actually went live and it was something I had to use day in and day out and had to do really really effectively. The other thing I did when I was working at Cisco and we started using a IP-based phone system and the phones were actually not very accessible beyond the basic dialing, and there were dozens of features beyond the basic dialing. So what I did is I asked to join the set of people that were testing the version of this phone, which had been implemented as a application on a Windows system. So, you know, by using that application, I was actually able to gain most of the access to the phone system that everyone else had. And right, I was using the computer as my, you know, just as another application on my computer for the phone rather than a phone sitting on my desk. So, thank you.
So one of our members is here today came to this area to accept a job, and we've had him talk before about various things. He came all the way from Maine to work here, and he works at the VA in Palo Alto, and so and we know that he does other things too, like work on the issues of self-driving cars and rides Segways and does all kinds of weird stuff like that. So let me introduce Brian Higgins.
Thank you, Roger. I think a lot of things we've heard today is some of the things that I've done is an important being a volunteer. And I think these can apply to anyone trying to get a job. Volunteer at an organization or pick out what you want to do. Be your own advocate, whether you have a disability or not. Now, coming from business management, taking courses, the ADA stressed to all employers that regardless of the disability, you can make the job accessible for under $500. I mean, this is part of what the ADA tries to stress to all employers. So, and one of the things that I've done is worked in an area, got on all sorts of councils, have become an employment advocate. I had a business in Maine. I was a photographer, and I had my business for 25 years. And I realized when I was becoming blind that photographing a wedding, a bride, you don't instill a lot of confidence in a bride when you're coming down the aisle with a white cane in one hand and a camera in another. So I realized that I needed to look for different other jobs, so I started volunteering as museum directors, got into president of ACB of Maine, and got on all kinds of state rehab council committees and understood what was involved. I spent the last 5 years of having my business experimenting with different jobs, and I found that computers weren't going away. And so I got into computer access, teaching computer access instruction. And like Roger said, I moved 3,000 miles for a job. But I actually was offered, I had about three different offers. Once I went through a year of online training in computer access, there were like three different job offers I had. And getting tired of the Maine winters, I said, they tell me it's always sunny in California, so I came here. So I think to stress that, figure out what you want to do, get some training in that area, become your own advocate. Thank you.
I bet you it's nicer here today than it is in Maine in the middle of October. I heard that it was snowing in Pennsylvania and so forth. Let's see, there are a couple of people that I know are here that I haven't, that I didn't ask, and let me see if they want to comment. One is Steve Nakagawa. Are you here, Steve? Are you interested in saying a few words? Okay.
Hi, it's Steve Nakagawa. I have a kind of a unique job at Vista Center. I'm the right now I'm currently the store manager, but it's a volunteer job, and I actually have a staff of two people, and we have a store that we have adaptive aids. We allow, you know, it allows people to come to our agency and take a look at items. I used to work as a tech support manager for 3Com, so I was quite familiar with technology, and it's you know, kind of a challenge because all the technology that's currently made for blind people and visually impaired people is quite expensive, and it's the scales of economy, I guess, that some of the reasons why that has to happen. But I'm going to one of the other things that's going to be happening is I'm going to be transitioning to a new. Something new that Vista Center is going to be implementing is we're going to be having a working age technology focus now. So they're going to transition me to becoming a technology program manager. So we're going to be looking to help people that are working age, you know, with their jobs and inform them of the latest technology that's out there. So that's... No... That's the thing about Vista Center. The managers just don't get paid there. So my staff gets paid, but I don't. So that's I was fortunate. I had a very good. I decided that I would go out on disability because I had a very good plan. But I'm decided to as giving back. I work at Vista Center 3 to 4 days a week, helping them because. You know, the whole key is to help people find out and figure out how to do things without having to go through what my wife Leanne went through when I lost my vision, you know, back in 1999. So, but what I one of the things about working at Vista Center is that you find out that people they're just so amazed when you come in and you're able to. You know, see the little basic things like bump dots, really inexpensive items that can help them with their daily living. And so it's a rewarding and it's fun to, you know, interact with the clients that we have. So I've really enjoyed, I've been working there for over 5 years now. So that's it.
Is that it? Let's applaud for Steve. Okay, I believe our membership chairman, Mr. Turner, has a job too. Are you wanting to talk for a moment, Rob? Okay. Where is
Yeah, I'm going to move back. Well, I guess in my present job, I'd have to say the main thing was networking, because it was really, you know, and then having a work history, I think also helped, but networking was the key, because if I hadn't known John, you know, I wouldn't have... probably wouldn't have found out about the job in the first place. I mean, I might have, but... it was just so it's really important to keep your networking options open and communicate with other people and also I think just having the desire to work, to want to have a job, to know that that's what you want to do. For me, I would say that was the key. And then also I also think okay. Yeah, I work over at Bookshare doing customer and technical support. And so, and that's all I'm going to say. I'll turn this over to whoever else.
You getting enough exercise? Yeah, and I... And I like Rob, even though he's the guy that took over my job at Telesensory when they fired me. I won't hold that against him. I think those are the people we had planned to speak, and I guess I'd like to have a few minutes for questions now. Does anybody else want to talk or want to?
Susan Chilter, John.
Susan, are they here?
Yeah, they're here.
Oh, I didn't know Susan and John were here. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
So, let's. I'm sorry, I missed them. They came in late, or I missed them in the introductions. What? Oh. Okay.
Oh, thank you. I guess I'll go first, and then I'll turn it over to Susan. Hi, everybody. I'm John Glass, and I just thought I'd talk very briefly about how I got started working, because my situation is a little different. Like most blind kids, I was always interested in radio. I started listening to radio when I was about 3 years old, and all the top 40 stations and everything. And when I was 12 years old, I got my ham radio license, which is a hobby service that allowed me to talk to people from all over the world and make some really nice friends. And as I went through high school and then into college, I always thought that I wanted to be a radio broadcaster. And, of course, this is the dream that a lot of blind folks have. When I was in college, I was the general manager of our on-campus FM radio station for my last 2 years. And after graduating, I started looking around the Bay Area to see what kind of radio jobs might be available. And while I was in college, I got a bachelor's degree in business administration with a minor in communications. And the reason that I minored in communications, of course, was because of my radio interest. Well, as I looked around, unfortunately, I found that there weren't very many jobs available. And those that were at small stations. I'd probably have to be on the air in the middle of the night to start. And it wasn't real obvious how that was even going to work as far as transportation. And there were a number of logistical things that were going to make it kind of difficult. So I thought, well, maybe I could find something else to do. And I went up to San Francisco and took a few civil service exams to see if I could become employed by the state. And I had a person who gave me one of the exams who was real honest with me at the end of it. And he said, I could probably be fired for telling you this, but he said, you seem like a pretty nice guy and I want to be honest with you, and I don't want you to sit at home and wait for the phone to ring, because he said it won't. And the reason it won't is because all of the positions that you're applying for, even though the government here is making it seem like they're really open and available, they've all been filled. And again, he said, I shouldn't be telling you this, but it'll probably be 5 years before we have an opening. Well, my phone never rang, so I think he was telling me the truth. So, as I'd mentioned, when I was 12 years old, I got my ham radio license, and I knew a guy who was also a ham radio operator that had started a small telecommunications company in Sunnyvale. And I called him up and talked to him, and we were just chatting about this and that, and I wasn't even really thinking about a job, but he said, how would you like to come and work for me for a while? Because I am in the process of developing a software upgrade for one of our products. And he said, I'm really having a lot of trouble getting this work done because I'm the only person here in the company that can talk to customers and prospective customers about the products that we have. And this was a very small company at the time. It had about 6 employees. And so I said, sure, because I was a user of one of his products that was being used in ham radio. And I thought this was just going to be a temporary position, so I went to his office and started answering phone calls. And this was before email. This was back in 1985. And so all of the inquiries that came in were over the phone. And I started talking to customers and prospective customers, and I was having a lot of fun. But my biggest accessibility issue at the time was having access to the product manuals, because they were all in print. And as a user of one of the main products, I was real familiar with it and I could talk about it, but people were always asking me for manual references. You know, what page in the manual can I find more information about this topic on? Well, the product manuals had been produced on a Macintosh, and there really wasn't good access to the Macintosh at that time. And to make a long story short, after trying a number of sort of futile attempts to get the manual information put into hard copy Braille, we were able to get the text, but there were tables that didn't turn out well and that sort of thing. The Braille project at the Santa Clara Valley Blind Center ended up brailing these product manuals for me by hand. And over the 8-year period that I was at this company, they produced approximately 30 volumes of Braille for me. And that's really what allowed me to do my job, was having access to all of the documentation for our products. So I stayed at that company for 8 years, and then I moved to another telecommunications company. I was only there for a year, and unfortunately the second company ended up going out of business. Then I took a job with Arkenstone, which many of you may be familiar with, the company that created the open book scanning and reading software, and I handled the customer support and inside sales for that company. And then I worked as a contractor for a couple of telecommunications companies, and for the last 3.5 years, I've been at Bookshare as the technical support manager, working with Rob Turner, which has just really been a pleasure. So that's sort of my job history over the last 24-year period or so. And Susan Schulter is right here to my left. I know that we don't have a whole lot more time before the break, but I know she wants to talk about what she's doing, and so I'll hand the microphone to her.
Thank you, John. I'm Susan Schulter, and I've actually spoken with you before about what I do, so I won't be too long. I think I'd like to just connect with some comments that others have made that I think are important. I will say that I'm a full-time English instructor at West Valley Community College in Saratoga. This is my 13th year there. I've actually been teaching for 26 years, and that's scary because I don't feel that old, but something's happening. Well, yeah, I do some days, truthfully. But anyway, I would like to connect with those of you who indicate that sometimes volunteering is the way you get started and the way things happen. When I was even a high school student, I was a flutist, and the two interests in my life that have tended to guide what I do are music and writing and the love of language and how those interact. And as a high school music student, I often found myself, you know, inadvertently helping other students in the orchestra, teaching other flutists, you know, they would watch my hands and stuff. And then I, you know, one of my first jobs was people's moms paid me to give their daughters flute lessons for you. And it was no big deal, you know, but it was just one of those things where you get noticed. When I was a college student, I had a paid position as a writing tutor in the college where I worked and another paid position as a teaching assistant. And in graduate school, we had paid teaching positions. But when I came to California, I got here in January, and I didn't actually start working at San Jose State till September. This was 1983. But what I did in between is I went over to Cabrillo College, and I volunteered in the Writing Center as a writing tutor. And that volunteer experience added to what was on the resume when I went to San Jose State. And people are, you know, often if you're willing to do that, it's happened for me with writing too, where at San Jose State I started out doing volunteer writing for for the Disability Education Support Program, and pretty soon I got a part-time job there being paid as the newsletter for that. And that wasn't my main teaching job, but being willing to just have a good time and you know, be in it for the sake of doing it when you can, that whole networking, that whole volunteering can really, really make a difference. The other thing that I wanted to say is that it's often our avocational interests that lead to kinds of employment that help us do other things. When I was in graduate school, one of the ways that I supported myself, besides that I had the wonderful experience of a fellowship my first year and a teaching assistantship the second, but I am a jazz musician, and when I was in grad school, we formed a jazz band, and a colleague and I composed music, and I would go and I would sing in this band and play flute in this band on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights from 9 p.m. till 1 in the morning at these local jazz clubs. And then we'd go out, we'd break down the set, and then we'd go out and get something to eat. And we'd get home at 4 in the morning, and I wasn't sleepy. I was like wide awake. And then I had to go teach a class or go to class. So it was a weird time. You can only do this in your 20s when your body's strong enough. We may not all be singers, and we may not all be flutists, but we all have things that we do that other people need. And before we had capital in the world, we had barter, and people traded skills. And if you are a good gardener, if you are good with children, if you are a musician, if you are good at doing something with your hands, if you make good desserts, if you have a good bedside manner, comforting people who are ill, bring those talents to others. Sometimes you'll get paid for them. Sometimes you'll get loved for them. Sometimes, if you're lucky, you'll get both. Thank you.
Well, I think we have an embarrassment of riches here. I think we've pretty well shot our time. But I think that I don't know whether Mike wants to give us any more time for questions or not, but what I would say is that the important thing that we learned from all this is networking. And you now know, all of you who may be interested in employment or in keeping your job or in getting a better one or getting one, that you've got all kinds of folks in this organization that know a lot of stuff and that can help you. And your job is to talk with those folks and get your stuff together. Hello?
This is Susan Hyatt. I want to say one thing.
Okay. Let Susan Hyatt say something.
Besides networking, it is also good to have connections. That was how I got my job when I was working, was that I had connections of the agency that I eventually worked for, and I got the job, and it was primarily through connections. Thank you.
I'd like to make a comment if I may.
This is Eileen.
I think that when you become a member of SVCB, one of the benefits is that you have a membership list, which is a contact information for all the people on the chapter. So that might be a great reason to just join.
I have something to say. This is Eileen, and networking and the people here do have so much to offer. Naomi has worked with me, Silicon Valley Independent Living Center, and she's worked directly with me for a long time now, and she's wonderful, and she puts so much effort and love into everything she does, and I represent part of that love and activity that she is involved in, and wanted to bring that to the forefront so that people will know that networking and
working within the council. It's a wonderful, wonderful adventure. Thank you.
Hello, good morning. This is Ruben Armenta, and I want to speak for the deaf and the blind, which I am. I know there's a couple of us here, but, you know, as a kid, I started wearing hearing aids when I was 7, and I had 10 years of speech therapy. I started wearing glasses when I was about 10, so I've never had good hearing or vision. And I worked in the valley, you know, my mother worked for Fairchild and my father worked for FMC. And I decided to go when I grew up. I learned as I was growing up, besides the speech therapy, taught me how to read lips. So some of the things that I learned, I couldn't use anymore, of course, because after I lost my sight. But I worked and I retired after 27 years in the construction trade as a carpenter. I was good with my hands, and I still am. I've learned quite a bit from different people. And coming here, I've been coming here hanging out with you folks for about 6-7 years now. And growing up, and you know, I used to kid people, say that, you know, I'm not only blind, but I'm invisible. And they would say, well, what do you mean? I said, nobody ever knows. It's kind of hard for them to tell because I'm not the normal person. You know, I walk with a cane now. But my whole life I learned how not to. But in the trades, what I did in the end, in 1989, I became legally blind and I kept working. You know, there was no way that I could stop when I was halfway in between my pension. So I continued working. But the last 10 years, it's a funny thing, but I started doing hardware and handicap signage and handicap access. And it was something that I said, wow. I said, and I started to learn more about, you know, the disabled and the ADA, because I was finally, you know, I finally lost all my vision. I have ushers. This is why I had hearing aids and vision problems at such an early age. But the thing is like everyone says, there's always someone there. If you need help, you need to ask. If you want some advice, you need to ask. If someone's willing to give you some good advice and to help you to further either your education or your life, as to improve it, ask. Don't be afraid. I've had many good tutors growing up, and I've had wonderful people in this organization helping me. And, you know, I just want to say that everyone who spoke today, see all the things that we can do and you can do, everyone else can do them too. You know, don't give up on anything, because the main important thing in your life is your life. Don't forget that. And everyone else here, it's a good group and good, caring people. Thank you.
I think it's time, manager.
Excuse me. Can I ask a question?
Oh, how long did your father work for food machinery?
He retired from there. He worked from... He was building the tanks, you know, very big on war.
He didn't work there.
I'm sorry?
He did not work there.
So.
In the
1960s. Okay, you guys talk.
In the 1960s.
Talk after we break, okay?
I want to say one more thing. I'm a native Santa Clara, California, and I've watched this valley grow to what it is today. And it's great. You know, even though I can't see it, it's great.
Okay. This is a good example of serendipity, because I had no idea that Ruben had all this to say, and I really think it added to where we are. And Reuben, I may have some carpentry for you too. You know, my friend Louis Herrera down in Southern California is a blind computer engineer and electrical engineer, and I have a wooden napkin holder that he made for me that's wonderful. He does that just to relax, you know, and it's beautifully made and polished and everything. It's wonderful. So, again, I think that's another one of these of the messages here is hobbies and volunteer activities and things can they sort of give you an idea of where your heart is, if you will, and you need to pay attention to that because even though you get paid for working, you don't want to do something you hate for your whole life. I need to stop, guys. We're over our time. But remember, all these people are here. You don't have any reason not to talk to them. So talk to them. And I'm going to turn it back to Mike now. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, we'll break for we'll break for 10 minutes and come back 11:15. 11:15.